The following program was produced in Hollywood and transcribed for release at this time. If you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy. From Hollywood, Skippy, America's largest selling peanut butter, presents the finest in comedy, romance, drama, in the Skippy Hollywood Theater. Presenting Leela Rogers with Mr. Frank Sundstrom, our star of the future, in Distortion. Now, here is the director of the Skippy Hollywood Theater, Mr. Lester Mitchell.
Thank you, Van Desitel. This week, the Skippy Hollywood Theater continues its series of Stars of the Future, as predicted and presented by Leela Rogers. In a moment, you'll meet our star of tomorrow. But first, I'd like to introduce a lovely lady who continues as your hostess for the next few weeks. Recognized nationally as a famous Hollywood theatrical coach, Leela Rogers is not only well-known as a writer, director, and actress, but as a woman who is never too busy to guide young hopefuls along the path to stardom. She is the discoverer and coach of such personalities as Lucille Ball, Alan Curtis, Anita Colby, Russell Hayden, Betty Grable, and, of course, her own famous daughter and star, Miss Ginger Rogers. Now, here she is, our hostess, Leela Rogers.
Thank you, Les. Our star is the famous leading man from Sweden, Mr. Frank Sundstrom, whom we will present in just a moment.
But first, a word from Van the Skippy Man.
If I were to name all the nutritional elements naturally contained in peanuts and describe how each is essential to good health, there might not be any time left for our Skippy Hollywood Theater play tonight. So don't get alarmed, I won't do it. I'll just restrain myself and merely say that Skippy peanut butter contains all the rich protein, all the vitamin and mineral value of top-grade roasted peanuts. But since we seldom buy food simply because it's good for us, let me give you a couple of quick facts about that famous Skippy flavor. First, Skippy tastes exactly like plump, selected, freshly roasted peanuts. Second, you get that flavor without any of the drawbacks of old-style peanut butter. Skippy has no oil separation, and it won't turn rancid. Instead, Skippy stays fresh and sweet and easily spread to the very last spoonful at the bottom of the jar. It's the truth. If you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy for wonderful flavor, for economical, hearty, health-protecting nourishment. Try Skippy soon, won't you? And now here's our hostess, Leela Rogers.
Thank you, Van. And here is Frank Sundstrom. Right here and now, I'm going to predict that Frank will soon be the sensation in this country that he has been abroad.
You're very kind, Mrs. Rogers. But isn't that, as you say over here, putting yourself out on a limb?
It could be expressed that way, or it could be better expressed, betting on a sure thing. That's how sure I am that you'll carry on the traditions established by such outstanding Swedish favorites as Greta Garbo and Ingrid Bergman.
After such an introduction, my performance will have to be good.
I'm not worried about that. Frank, a little while ago, you were telling me about the difference between acting in Europe and acting in America. Won't you tell us more about it after the show?
I'll be happy to do that, Mrs. Rogers. Now, curtain going up. Places, everyone. Curtain.
The curtain is up, and here's the play.
The Skippy Hollywood Theater presents Act One of Distortion, written by Harry Trelevan, Jr. and starring Mr. Frank Sundstrom.
It was a hot summer day. As I lay on the hammock, stretched across one end of the patio, there was no hint of the desperate mental struggle that was turning to cold ashes the proud achievements of an entire lifetime. What were the assets on the personal balance sheet of one Duncan Bennett, artist? First, of course, there was my only disputed reputation as America's foremost portrait painter. Second, there was my wife, the lovely and charming Christine. After 10 years of marriage, our love was still the sacred emotion it had always been. Then, in addition, I could list a broad and rather distinguished circle of friends whom I liked, and a bank account on which I could comfortably retire whenever I tired of money-making. Yes, I was a man with every reason to be supremely happy, except for one thing. I had become the victim of a grinding, tormenting frustration for which there was no relief. One that I knew would eventually drive me completely insane.
Duncan? Duncan, darling, it's nearly 3 o'clock. You haven't forgotten, have you?
No, Christine, I haven't forgotten. Benjamin T. Lattimore, illustrious manufacturer of pots and pans, is coming to sit for a portrait, which he can hang in his illustrious library so that future generations of Lattimores can gaze upon the founder of their stupid, pompous line.
What's the matter, darling? You once took such great pride in your skill. Every portrait was a personal triumph. Now all you do is depreciate the talent that made you famous.
Did you ever stop to think, Christine, that the type of portrait I do can be done much cheaper, much quicker, and far more efficiently by a common photographer with a $2 camera?
Oh, darling, if that were true, why wouldn't it follow that photographers could charge your prices for their portraits?
Simply because I once discovered a trick technique for glamorizing my subjects. Now I am an expensive social fad like, well, like a convertible station wagon or a hand-painted necktie.
What is it you want, then?
Something that no artist has ever had, Chris. The ability to paint the truth. Instead of portraying a mere combination of physical features and colors, I want to probe beneath a human exterior. I want to be able to strip away that meaningless covering and reach that unseen inner core that is the real man.
Duncan, you worry me. Perhaps this is only the...
Only the mad dream of a neurotic? Perhaps so. Well, I'll go in now and prepare for our distinguished visitor.
Don't be angry, darling. Duncan! Duncan, look out!
Blasted death trap.
Darling, are you hurt?
No, I don't know. No, of course not. Just a bump on my head, but it was the strangest sensation. As if suddenly everything around me were brought into some kind of focus. Imagination, I guess.
Well, go in and get ready now, Duncan. He'll be here any minute, and after driving all the way up from the city...
And if you just turn your head a little to the left, Mr. Lattimore. No, not quite so far. That's good. Now, your right arm.
Oh, confounded man. You've been moving me around like this for almost an hour. Now, I appreciate your reputation as a painstaking craftsman, but after all...
Yes, I'm sorry, but... Well, you see, I'm anxious to do a particularly impressive portrait. After all, a man of your standing, not just any slick-cut pose will do.
Well, of course, I don't want you to think that I was complaining. Now, you just take all the time you wish. I'm honored to know that you feel this way about...
60 minutes to pose the subject. It was unheard of. But that blow on the head had done something to me. There was a dull throbbing over my eyes and a strange expectancy that was causing my heart to pound noisily in my chest. Delaying my hand. A quiver, like a strong electric charge, ran through my arm. My whole body shuddered. The throbbing in my head beat furiously against my brain, and I thought for a second I was going to faint. Instead, I passed into a sort of daze. Left me almost totally unaware of the brush in my hand, the easel, and even the fact that I was painting. How long I remained in that state, I don't know, because I remember nothing until...
Oh, look here, Bennett. My neck is so stiff, it'll never be the same again. You know, I'm not made of aluminum like my products, you know.
Yes, of course. I somehow didn't realize we had been at it so long.
Look here. Is this some kind of a joke, Bennett?
Joke? What do you mean?
What do I mean? Are you blind? Well, that's not my likeness.
Yes, I see it now. The mouth and the eyes.
The whole blasted portrait. Why, it's revolting. Insulting.
Listen closely, Christine. Something of tremendous importance has happened. Lattimore left. He canceled the commission. For the next week, it will be imperative that I work completely free of interruption. So I'm going away. I want you to mention to no one where I am. Do you understand?
No, I don't understand. This isn't like you, Duncan.
I'll be at Professor Kinder's studio. Now, please don't ask me any more questions. Don't try to get in touch with me. And above all, tell no one about this.
Please, Duncan, you just can't go away like this.
In future years, we may look back upon today as the most significant of our lives, Chris. Yes, even as the most significant... in the entire history of art. Professor Kinder had been my first and only teacher, and one of the few great men that I had ever known. For nearly my entire life, he had been teacher, friend, father, and God to me. And for that reason, I immediately decided to turn to him. I knew he would offer me sanctuary while I worked, and that when I was through, he would understand what I had done.
And now tell me the cause of all this excitement. Your eyes, Duncan, like two burning coals they are.
Professor, I have a favor to ask of you.
Why, for my most renowned pupil, anything.
I want to use your studio, Professor.
What?
I'm developing a new technique, and I need absolute privacy.
Well, of course, Duncan, of course. The studio is yours. This new technique you mentioned, you will tell me what it is, no?
If you don't mind, I'd rather wait. Wait until I'm completely certain I've mastered it. The next 6 days were the most grueling, but the most glorious, triumphant of my life. Never was I away from my easel for more than an hour at a time. For models, I used anyone I could find. Oh, and they were incredibly, breathtakingly magnificent, beautiful with the ugliness of truth. I had achieved a technique man had never even dared to dream of attaining, a technique that would establish me as the greatest master of all time. And at last, I was ready to show what I had done. I can assure you, Professor, that it would be like nothing you have ever seen. It's an entirely new method of painting.
That we shall see, Doctor.
Here we are. I've spread the canvases around the room so you can view them easily. Well?
Duncan, my boy, what have you done? Mm. They're so ugly, so horrible, they frighten me.
That's because they are the truth, Professor. And the truth is never pretty. Look at this one. Look at this one of the landlady. Her features have become an honest reflection of the stingy pettiness and narrow-minded bigotry inside her. And the newsboy here, look. His young face is but a transparent mask through which we see the twisted bitterness and scheming hate that lies behind it.
Stop, Duncan. Please.
Professor, what's wrong?
Duncan, you must abandon this.
Huh?
This technique, as you call it. You must return to your own style before it's too late. For the sake of your happiness, Duncan, try no more to paint these things you see inside men. I am only beseeching you as a friend.
Give up an immortal talent? My answer is no.
Duncan, you are stepping into forbidden territory.
Yes, forbidden to all but me. Because I have been granted an authority never before possessed by any man. The authority to search the human soul. Yes, I alone can see the evil and corruption in men before it expresses itself in their deeds. Do you realize what that means?
No, please, Duncan. This is wrong.
I'll tell you what it means. It means that no one is safe from me. No one. No matter how high his position or how great his reputation, because I can expose him. Yes, I, Duncan Bennett, have discovered a power that can challenge the rulers of the world.
We'll be back in just a moment with Act Two of the Skippy Hollywood Theater's presentation of Distortion, starring Mr. Frank Sundstrom. But right now, let's listen to Van Desitel.
I heard a radio program recently on which they described unusual courting customs. It seems the natives in certain parts of the Ozarks take great delight in smearing their faces with peanut butter. They feel their golden bronze appearance, plus the fragrant aroma, makes them practically irresistible to members of the opposite sex. Can you imagine that? Well, neither can I. At any rate, it's for sure they don't use Skippy peanut butter. Anyone who's ever sniffed that special Skippy aroma just can't possess the willpower to use Skippy for anything other than eating purposes. Because you know what Skippy tastes like? Peanuts. I don't mean little, ordinary peanuts either. If you can imagine nibbling on plump, selected, freshly roasted peanuts, the real fancy kind, you know exactly what Skippy tastes like. And Skippy brings you that flavor, free from oil separation, stickiness, and dryness. Skippy is fresh peanut butter, and it stays fresh and sweet and easily spread to the last spoonful. Now, we do not recommend putting Skippy on the outside of your face. However, if you're interested in buttering up to a member of the opposite sex, a cracker generously buttered with Skippy is an excellent friendship promoter. Remember, if you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy.
The Skippy Hollywood Theater is presenting Mr. Frank Sundstrom as Duncan in Distortion.
Professor Kindler was an old man. I had been a fool to expect him to understand so revolutionary a technique as mine. But there was one person I knew would understand. Christine.
Duncan. Oh, Duncan, darling, I've been so worried.
Christine.
Darling, I've missed you so much. But you look so tired and pale.
That's unimportant, Chris. The main thing is I've done it. I can't explain how it happened, but somehow I've suddenly been granted a mysterious skill, an ability to go beyond what we normally accept as the limits to human perception.
Your eyes, Duncan, they almost frighten me.
Oh, I know I must look and sound like a madman, darling. It's just that I'm so very excited about all this.
Are you sure it's right for you, Duncan?
You're sounding like the old professor. But, Chris, I must show you. Today, right now.
Show me?
Yes. I'll do your portrait.
Duncan. Oh, no.
Chris, what is it? No. No, it can't be possible.
Surely you didn't intend that to be me, Duncan. It's so horrible.
It was the last thing I expected.
Why, you've turned me into a self-centered, shallow, ignorant mockery of...
Yes. Yes, it is that, isn't it? There's no doubt.
Duncan, why are you staring at me like that?
What supreme irony. All these years I've lived with you without ever once seeing you as you really are. Without even truly understanding you.
Don't say that, Duncan.
How incredible that I could have been deluded so long by a lovely face.
Duncan, you're ill.
Because I can see the truth in you.
Oh, please, darling. Darling, let me help
you. I'm leaving you, Chris. Don't try to stop me.
No. No. Please. Please, Duncan, you're making such a terrible mistake.
A mistake? Did you accuse me, Duncan Bennett, of making a mistake? Breakup of my marriage should have been a portent of what lay ahead, but I was blinded by the burning fever of my power. I did realize, however, that I couldn't keep up indefinitely the furious pace I had set for myself during the past week. So after I arrived in the city, I resolved to stay away from my easel and not even think about painting until I had a chance to rest. That was why evening found me at my club.
Duncan Bennett, how are you, old boy?
Oh, Roger, it's good to see you. Sit down.
It's been months since I've seen you in here. We were wondering just the other day where you were keeping yourself.
Well, you know how it is. I've been very busy with my work.
Yes, and you show it. You'd better slow down, fella.
By coincidence, I've just given myself precisely the same advice.
Say, I have an idea. Why don't you go up to the lake with me tomorrow? You remember our cottage up there, don't you? It would do you no end of good. Fresh air, fishing.
Oh, sounds good. Just like what I need. Truthfully, I've been working under somewhat of a strain lately.
It'll calm those jumpy nerves of yours, I guarantee. And when you come back, you won't be doodling constantly like that.
Doodling? Strange, I hadn't realized.
Let's see what America's foremost painter of portraits scribbles in his idle moments. Do you mind?
No, I guess not.
You've been sketching the men sitting around that table over there. But what have you done to them? Just look at the face you've given Livingston.
Yes, the conceited fool. An incurable braggart.
I always thought you liked him. And here's Slater. Duncan, surely Bill Slater doesn't give you this impression.
It's there, isn't it? Prudish, porcine, hypocritical.
But those are your friends, Duncan. Why this contempt?
I can't deny what I see. Surely you're not blaming the imperfections and failings of others on me.
Here's a sketch I hadn't noticed before. Oh. It's of me, isn't it?
Yes, Roger, it's you. It shows every bit of your smugness. Your ridiculous pride, your dull conservatism.
I'm sorry. Duncan, I don't quite know what to say.
But don't bother trying. I'm leaving now. And about that invitation, I'm sorry, but I'll be too busy to accept. It wasn't until after I had left that I was able to fully comprehend what had happened. Not only had I not realized what I was doing when I had sketched those men, but I had done it contrary to a distinct resolve not to draw at all. And to make the situation even more serious, every single sketch had been hideous. As Roger had said, there were men I'd known and liked for years. Roger himself was one of my oldest friends. But now, I knew I could never again associate with any of them. I would never be able to forget the evils that my hand had shown me lay inside them. 3 days passed. 3 days of nightmare. The famous drawing hand of Duncan Bennett was now completely out of my control, moved by the same insidious force. I hated. As soon as I saw a person, I drew him and I hated him. Then I realized that the truth about my fellow man was a knowledge that would in the end destroy me. Yes, with far greater desperation than I had ever longed for the ability to see into man's soul, I now prayed that I would find a way to rid myself of it before it was too late.
Duncan, I was hoping you would come back.
Professor, you must help me. You must save me.
Well, now, calm yourself, my boy. Come in, relax. So.
Professor, do you remember those paintings I did up here? And how you told me I was entering forbidden territory?
Of course I remember.
Well, you were right. I was blind to what was happening to me.
And what has happened to you, Duncan?
Well, it's just that I can't seem to control myself any longer. This power within me must continually be expressed, whether I will it or not.
Is that bad, Duncan? I thought you were proud of
but
that.
But now I don't want to see the truth any longer, Professor. The truth about people is too ugly. There is too much evil in everyone.
Duncan, as long as you believe that, I cannot help you.
What?
No
what do you
one
mean?
Can help you. Because, Duncan, in reality, you have never been farther from truth.
That's a lie. If it's not the truth my technique portrays, then what is it?
Distortion, Duncan.
You see, my boy, in all of us there is some fault, some little bad.
The amount varies, but the perfect man just does not exist. What you have done is to take that little bit of bad and distort it, show it out of all proportion.
You're lying, I tell you.
Yes,
and I know why. It's because you're jealous. Jealous because the pupil has now surpassed the master.
No,
it's
Duncan.
All so plain to me. Or have you forgotten that I can see into people, Professor? Yes, without even putting it on canvas, I can see it. The jealousy that makes you resent me, that's making you lie to me.
I'm sorry I had to do that,
you
Duncan.
You stupid old man. You dare strike me. Well, you will never do it again. Not when I finish. I looked down at his still body, and horror at my deed grew within me. Then, as if controlled by strength not mine, I slowly raised my head and looked into a face more horrible than any of those I'd drawn. A countenance so ghastly, I couldn't believe it was human. In panic, I tried to run, but my body seemed paralyzed, hypnotized by this thing that stood looking at me. Then, suddenly, I realized who he was, because I saw that I was looking straight into a mirror. Oh, no!
Oh, yes. Look at your portrait. A portrait that could only have been done by the new Duncan Bennett. Now you see yourself with these new eyes. Now, what do you think of yourself, of this great gift, this great power?
Before I discovered my gift, I was nothing but a craftsman.
Your talent was honest. You captured the real personality of your subjects. A spark of humor in the eyes, perhaps, or a hint of kindness in the mouth.
But that wasn't truth.
Truth. Truth is not all evil. Duncan Bennett, nor is it all good. You must learn that before it's too late.
Perhaps when you're as old as I am, Duncan, you will understand that goodness in people is often so unspectacular it goes unnoticed. Evil is more exciting, more quickly seen, but it seldom represents more than a small part of anyone.
Professor, you...
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right, Duncan. Oh. You only did me slight physical harm. But you keep looking in the mirror and try to understand what you saw. What you're seeing now is a distortion. Look deep into the mirror and yourself, Duncan. Look. Look. looked. And it happened again, just as it had that other time. Only now, everything moved back into focus again. A clear, true focus this time. The face in the mirror was my own. With my own strength and weakness, good and evil. And I knew there was a balance of these things in every man. And that I'd done my wife and my friends an awful injustice. It was a distortion. And now my mind was clear. And I knew I had to find them, to tell them, to make them understand, to go back to my life where I had left it. But much wiser for what I had learned.
And the curtain falls on the second act of Distortion, starring Mr. Frank Sundstrom, who returns in just a moment.
You'll see the words, "product guaranteed perfect," on the lid of every jar of Skippy peanut butter. That's your assurance the claims we make for Skippy are entirely true. We say Skippy has no oil separation, and that it stays fresh and sweet and easily spread to the last spoonful at the bottom of the jar. And Skippy is America's largest selling peanut butter. That's further proof of outstanding quality. Creamy style Skippy Blue Label is triple mill to a buttery smoothness. Chunk style Red Label is creamy, with crunchy little nuggets of peanuts added. Try Skippy, won't you? Now here is your director, Les Mitchell.
Thank you, Van. And here's our hostess, Leela Rogers, with our star, Mr. Frank Sundstrom. Such a powerful performance deserves praise, Frank.
I second that, Les. Frank Sundstrom, you were wonderful.
Well, thank you. After your introduction, I just had to try to do my best. I'm glad you liked it.
As I understand it, you were in the Royal Dramatic Theater in Stockholm for 14 years. Is that right?
Yes, Mrs. Rogers. 3 years in the Academy and then 11 years as an actor.
You told me before the show that you found acting in America quite different from acting in Europe.
Well, I think the main difference lies in a tendency to type actors here in Hollywood.
And that doesn't hold true in Europe?
From my own experience, I know that when an actor is found to be very good in one part, in a particular type of part, the director will see to it that his next role is something completely different and extremely difficult. It's not only a challenge to the actor, but it helps him to grow.
And it helped you to turn in a splendid characterization in The Assassin on Broadway. Then you came here and have just finished playing Tchaikovsky in Song of My Heart.
Yes, but that wasn't my first trip to America, Mrs. Rogers. I was here once before 1919 and once 1924 playing my violin in concert series.
Well, I'd like to hear you play, Frank. But mostly I want to predict you will be one of America's important screen stars of the future.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Rogers, and thank you very much for inviting me to appear on this special series. And now, before I go, I would like to thank Michael Ann Barrett and the other members of the cast for their fine performance. Goodbye, Mrs. Rogers.
Goodbye and good luck, Mr. Frank Sundstrom. Next week, our star of the future will be the lovely and talented Miss Ruth Brady.
Thank you, Leela Rogers. We'll all be looking forward to next week.
In the cast, you heard our star, Mr. Frank Sundstrom as Duncan, Michael Ann Barrett as Christine, Hugh Studebaker as the Professor, Herbert Rawlinson as Lattimore, and David Bond as Roger. Distortion was written by Harry Trelevan, Jr., produced and directed by Les Mitchell, who is here also as your host.
Thank you for being our guest, and we hope you'll be with us again next week.
Musical score was composed and conducted by Del Castillo. Next week, we continue our special series presenting a forecast of stars of tomorrow, predicted and presented by Leela Rogers. Succeeding shows will bring to the microphone talented and worthwhile stars-to-be, such as Ruth Brady, Alan Hale Jr., Audrey Long, and William Roy. Mr. Frank Sundstrom appeared through the courtesy of Allied Artists, producers of Song of My Heart. Dan Desitel speaking. For the Skippy Hollywood Theater, this program was produced in Hollywood and transcribed for release at this time.